We now begin the fourth parak of Maseches Sanhedrin. This is Parak Dalet Mishnah Aleph 4:1. In the previous parak, the latter part of the parak, we were discussing the procedures as they're carried out for dinei mamonos, for financial disputes. Here our Mishnah is going to talk about how that is similar and sometimes different than how things work for dinei nefashos, for a capital case where someone's being tried for potentially being executed. So the Mishnah says, first of all, echad dinei mamonos ve'echad dinei nefashos. They are the same with respect to bedrisha uvachakira, and that you have to examine the witnesses carefully by the dayanim. And the base of that is a pasuk, shenemar mishpat echad yelachem. There's a pasuk which says, the drush is that it's understood that the way in which one carries out a capital case versus a regular, monetary case has to be mishpat echad, has to be governed by a single set of rules, and the rules should be the same. So that's why they're the same. Now, in terms of these specific things, you have in our Mishnah here a mention of drisha and chakira. The truth is there are three categories of questions that a dayan might ask a witness. Those are drisha and chakira, like our Mishnah says, as well as badika. Now, all three of these terms, badika, drisha, chakira, they're all, in truth, like the literal translation, are synonyms. Badika means like to check. Bodeka is to check something, that it shouldn't be like flawed or suspicious. Derisha means doresh, means like investigate, like the word drusha, to turn over and explore. And chakira, choker, means to like investigate, as in like, to do like some logical analysis, I don't know. But all those things are not really relevant, because the terms drisha, chakira, and badika in the context of our Mishnah here are kind of legal jargon. They mean specific types of questions. Chakira, the second of our Mishnah here, those are what the Gemara and the Mishnah describe as the seven questions, but they're really just to ascertain two basic points. Chakira establishes the time and place at which the witness observed the event in question. And that's essential, because for Hazama to show that witnesses are Edom Zomin, you need to show that they weren't at the place they claim they were at the time they claim they were at it. And if they can't give proper answers to the questions of Chakira, so then they're simply, their testimony is not accepted, because it has to be subject to Chakira, subject to Hazama. Drisha are other related questions, which are also important to establish the fact. So that would mean, you say that Reuven lent Shimon money. Well, how much money? And when did he say he's going to pay it back? Those are, Drisha questions about the facts that are relevant to the case at hand. The other questions that we don't mention here, the Bedikos, those are actually sort of extraneous questions that don't have any direct bearing on the facts of the case in question, but they might be important to ascertain whether the witnesses really were there and really were paying attention, and to confirm their aedis, their testimony corroborates one or the other. So you might want to say, okay, I understand Reuven lem Shimon money. You say it was such a time, such a place. Those are the chakira questions. And you say the amount was such and such, and the terms of the loan were such and such. Those are the drisha questions. But what about, at the time the loan was happening, what was he wearing? Was he sitting down or standing up? Now, obviously, it doesn't matter if he was sitting down or standing up. But if one witness says he was standing, one says he was sitting, or one says he's wearing a white suit, one says he's wearing a black suit. Well, obviously, if it was a white suit, you probably should remember that. And if you don't remember that, something's very fishy over here. Okay, so those are the other kind of questions. The point is, this process goes on equally for both financial mamonos as well as nefashos, capital cases. So, ma bein dine mamonos dine nefashos. What are the differences between how these kinds of court cases are adjudicated? And the basic gist here, although we're going to have a lot of things based on psukim, the gist is, while we want strict justice to be carried out in terms of mamonos, we really temper that justice with a lot of rachm and mercy. We're really trying our very best to find a way to exonerate, to get the accused person off of being executed in a capital case. Okay, so that's really what's happening over here in short. But in large, a lot of stuff we're going to say here we've seen before in previous Mishnayos. First of all, it says that dinei mamonos b'shlosha. Remember, there are three dayanim, judges, that try a regular financial case. That was based on the three appearance of the word Elohim in the parsha there in Mishpatim. But v'dinei nefashos be'esher mishlosha, the Beis Din is 23, comprised of 23 dayanim, judges for a capital case. We discussed the exegesis of that based on the last mission of the first parak, how it got to 23, needed two edas, plus a majority of two plus another one person to make it so that you don't have a bezin shakel. More on that actually in a moment. So we need 23 bottom line. Dine mamonos, when it comes to financial cases, poschen bein lezuchus bein lachova, the opening questions and discussions that the dayanim bring to bear as the court opens up could be, with a posture or an attitude or a suggestion that we're going to be finding innocence or guilt, obligation or non-obligation. But dine nefashos poschen lezuchus, the way in which every capital case should begin, it should be that the judges open their discussions with the entertain the possibility that the person is innocent and that they're going to be doing their very best to try to find innocence and a way to exonerate him. So, they'll say to him, don't worry. If you didn't do this, nothing to worry about. We're going to find out you're innocent and the truth will come out and you have nothing to worry about. Okay? The limit of that is based from the parsha of Sota, where we are sort of warning the accused woman, the accused Sota, that the consequences are dire if she should drink the maim arim, the bitter waters, if she's guilty. But we started by saying that if she isn't guilty, im lo shachav ish osach, im lo satis, if you didn't, sleep with that man, if you didn't turn aside, so then you don't worry, hanaki mimei ha-ma'arim, ha-ma'arim, you'll be naki mimei ha-ma'arim, you'll be free from the bitter waters, ha-ma'arim, that, would otherwise curse a person. So that's the idea here to learn from there. So we start with the good news. I think it's an important lesson to learn for life. If you're a school teacher, for example, your exams should start with easy questions first so that the people taking the test should feel confident they're going to be okay. Because if you start with a hard question, you sort of panic and sort of throw in the towel and give up that you're not going to make it through. And that's the same idea with a court case. If you're nervous and you see that they're out to get you, you're going to feel you're going to feel bad, and therefore you're not going to be able to perform your best to present your best case. Okay, now, next, sorry, I lost my place. I apologize. Here. Dine mamonos matin al pi'eid echad ben lezuchus ben lechova. When it comes to regular financial consideration, we look for a simple majority. If it's two against one, you have a majority of one, and that's how we will go, whether it's, for zuchus or chova, obligation or innocence, not having to pay, yes, having to pay. But dine nefashos are different. Matin al pi'eid echad lezuchus. We will have a simple majority of one to exonerate, to let him off the hook. So that means 12 against 11. If 12 say innocent, the 1 and 11 say guilty. Since the majority 12 say innocent, we let him go. But if we're going to find him guilty, we can't do it on a simple majority. You need to have two judges more than are saying guilty than innocent, right? So that means it's not a simple majority. As I said before, that was based on the pasuk Lo siya achrei rabim l'raos. We said that back there in the first parak. If you'll ask, wait a second, if you have 23 judges, so your possibilities are 10 against 13, which is a majority of 3, or 11 against 12, which is a majority of 1. So how could you ever get a majority of 2? That's a good point, and in fact, you're right. Under normal circumstances, you wouldn't. In normal circumstances, to find guilty, you need to have a 13 finding guilty. But there is a possibility, like for example, says the Rambam, let's say you had, a split decision. 11 say guilty, 11 say innocent, and the 23rd says he doesn't know. So now you're going to add two more judges to the case, like we said before. So now you'll have 25 judges sitting on the Bezdin, and it could be again now that these two judges both, let's say, find guilty, and the one who didn't know still doesn't know. So now you're at 13 guilty and 11 innocent. That would be a majority of two, but which one would execute? Okay, next, dine mamonos machzirin ben lezuchus ben lechova. When it comes to financial considerations, if we see after the Bezdin ruled, even if like the money had been handed over, that they made a mistake, let's say, tell us with our Mishnah, they just misunderstood the halacha, so they would bring everyone back in and rectify what they did wrong, whether it was for the benefit or the detriment of somebody else. It doesn't matter. We want justice served, so we don't care. We'll correct ourselves. But that's not true when it comes to dine nefashos. When it comes to dine nefashos, so then machzirin lezuchus. If after we say he's guilty, we realize, oh, we made a mistake, we bring him back in and overturn our ruling. The ein machzirin lechova. However, if we say he's innocent and he walks out of the court, even if after the fact we realize, oops, we made a mistake, and actually we should call him guilty, still, no, 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 we don't call him back in. He got off on this technicality, also based on a pasuk, v'naki v'tzadik al taharog. Once he's been exonerated, we won't bring him back in and kill him, even to retry the case or to re-examine evidence and the like. No. Next, dini mamonos, when it comes to regular financial cases, hakol malabdin zuchus v'chova. Anyone can advance their opinion to suggest why they should be innocent or guilty. Anyone here could mean not just the judges, of course, but even the talmidim of the judges who are sitting by. And that was very common. What would happen was, even in a lesser, dini mamonos case, it was common that the aspiring judges would sit as students around the case to learn from the actual judges. They can, they can be judges in training. And we'll see later on when it comes to Dinei Nefashos, there's actually a normal case that there were even rows of students, tens of students who are there to learn and observe. So the point is, if it's a Dinei Mamonos case, so all those students can have an opinion and they can suggest, what about this, what about that, and they can chime in. That's part of the learning process, and also it's part of getting of the justice process. Their opinions will be considered, and now they can suggest, rationales, whether they are for innocence or guilt, but not when it comes to the nefashos. The nefashos are kol malabdin zuchus. Yes, it's true, anyone can advance a reason why we should find innocence. V'ein ha'kol malabdin chova, but no, when it comes to suggestions why the accused should be found guilty, the people who are not judges have no right to open their mouth and suggest things, and no, because again, we're tilting, we want justice, but we're tilting with a heavy dosage of rachamim, mercy, to try to get this accused off the hook. We're not looking for ways, every way to find him guilty. Next, dinei mamonos, hamalamed chova, malamed zuchus. This, when it comes to regular financial cases, so then if one of the judges is advocating, let's say, for guilt, for obligation, he can change his tune and say, I changed my mind, actually, I think we should make him be zakai, to make him not have to pay or to get the money, whatever the story is, he can switch sides. V'hamalamed zuchus malamed l'chov. And similarly, he can switch sides. He could advocate for innocence, but then change his mind for guilt. Again, in a financial case. But dinei nefashos are different. Hamalamed chova malamed zuchus. Yes, a judge who was advocating we should find the accused guilty and execute him could change his tune and say, I'm considering things, and whatever it's evidence or svara and the precedence, whatever the story is, and I think no, I've changed my mind. I think we should find him innocent, and here's why. Yes, he can do that. Aval malamed zuchus. Once a judge has been advocating for the innocence of an accused person in a capital case, dinei nefashos, so then ein yachol lachzor v'lamed chova. He can't switch sides. He can't switch sides and not start. He can say, I changed my mind. Actually, he should be guilty, and start advocating for a guilty verdict. He may not do that. Exactly when he's crossed the line to become an advocate that can't change his position anymore, I'm not exactly perfectly sure, but the idea is once he's advocating for guilt, once he's advocating for innocence, he can't change his tune. Again, so we're not going to sort of getting that, again, is stacking the deck in favor of finding an innocent charge. Now, let me just make something very clear here. This is important. When we actually get to the point where the judges will formally vote on guilt or innocence, then of course every judge must vote his conscience, what he thinks is true, and if he had originally thought he was innocent but changed his mind, of course he can vote guilty. The restriction of our Mishnah over here is that the judge who is advocating for innocence can't now become an advocate, to find him guilty. That's all. Next is the Mishnah, Dine Mamonos, Dan Bayom V'gom B'Laila. The court cases happen during the daytime, but the point is, if you run out of time, let's say, the decision can be rendered at night, after nightfall, for dinei mamonos. Din nefashos dan b'yom v'gom b'yom. But when it comes to dinei nefashos, so then we finish the court case during the daytime. More than that, dinei mamonos gomer bo b'yom bein l'zuchos bein l'chova. If we're going to render a decision in a monetary case, it can be done after nightfall. That not the collecting of information, but the actual giving over of the decision, that can happen at night. And that's true whether we're finding it, guilty or innocence, chayiv or not chayiv. But dinei nefashos, no. Gorm bo b'yom l'zuchus. We're definitely only giving a decision during the day. But the same day the trial happens is only if we're going to find him innocent. But if we're going to find him guilty, so then uveyom shela achrav l'chova. We won't give that decision until the following day. The reason why is because we're hoping that the judges who are going to make him guilty overnight will think about the case. They'll maybe come up with a reason to exonerate after all and find him innocent. So we give one night for them to think about it. And that's the idea here. You might have thought there is an issue, which we'll see later on, that we carry out the judgment promptly. We don't let it linger once a person's guilty. That would be like inui, it'd be like afflicting the guy. And we want to do v'afto recha kamocha. No one wants to suffer for no good reason. But obviously, if a person has hope of being found innocent, so then that's not suffering. So the fact that we push off the next day is totally legitimate, and that's how we do things. An important side note, there's a machlokas rishonim. What happens if a din Torah happens at nighttime? I'm talking about dinei mamonos. So the Rambam holds it's okay by the eved and binding. Others, however, say no, it has to be done during the day or it's not valid even by the eved. Next, in the last part of the Mishnah, it says, Lefikach, since we have to wait to render a decision of guilty until the following day, Ein danin lo be'erev Shabbos v'lo be'erev Yom Tov, dinei nefashos should not occur on a Friday or Erev Yom Tov. The reason why is because we're not going to be able to say he's guilty today. We have to wait till tomorrow. But tomorrow is Shabbos or Yom Tov. We can't do that tomorrow. We're not killing people on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Then we should push off to the next day. And that's too long. We're afraid they could forget. We're afraid that the suffering of the, you know, delayed on the accused. Therefore, no. We're going to make Dinei Nefashos cases only in such a way that this day afterwards is still a day in which we could execute the person if he is found guilty.